Good morning, and welcome to Coffee and Prayer. I'm Pastor Andrew F. Carter, and it is 5:30 a.m. here in Inglewood, California. As you guys are tuning in, please let me know where you are and what time it is where you guys are tuning in. Of course, if you guys are on the replay or the podcast, shout out to the podcast. We've got over 200 people listening on the podcast as well. A ton of support there. I thank you guys for that. But if you guys are there, you're watching this a little bit later, we love you. We thank you and we honor you. You guys are just as important as those who are here live. So check it out. We've got people from Vineta, Oregon. If you guys don't know where that is a small place up by Eugene where the home of the Ducks. It's up there in Oregon, Texas. We've got Knoxville, Tennessee. I love to see it. That is what I'm talking about. Who else? We've got Germany. There we go. Sister May's already on it. We got San Diego in the house. Come on, come on. Mississippi, Miami, New Mexico, India. It's 6 p.m. in India, if you guys didn't know. 8:30 in the morning in Dallas, Georgia, Minnesota. Oh, Poughkeepsie, New York, Colorado. Brother Carlos is in Colorado. What is going on, man? What is going on? Iowa's in the house. You guys, this is a worldwide ministry. People, I don't want to just say people. Y'all aren't just people. I've got family. I've got brothers and sisters in Christ from around the world who tune in on a regular basis. I believe, I can't quote this. I'm not sure. Today might be 190. It might be 189 or 190 days. I don't know. We're nearing 200 days of Coffee and Prayer in a row. You guys, in a row, not just 200 episodes, but 200 consecutive days. I shared this yesterday, man. Some of y'all haven't even showered 200 days in a row. Some of you guys might not even brush your teeth 200 days in a row. It shows our discipline, consistency, and devotion to the scripture. 200 days. Some people might ask, well, why don't you take a day off and sleep in? Listen, the devil don't take no days off. He sure as heck does not take any days off. And many of you guys can attest to that because he shows up regularly. He might show up in different ways, shapes, forms, and situations, issues, and circumstances. He don't play around. So why would we? Well, Andrew, what about a Sabbath? Look, I don't need to take a break from reading the Bible, right? I don't need to take a break. Rest, for me, rest is using scripture and feeding. I'm trying to stay full. Okay, so people will sit and criticize, oh, well, you're striving, you're working too hard, right? God doesn't desire, he doesn't need you to, no. It's not about what he needs me to do, it's what I want to do. I have found, and I'm sure a lot of you guys, is it feels good. I'm fed, I'm edified, I'm encouraged, I'm challenged, I'm changed and transformed. Why would I want to not seek God in his word every single day? We were here on Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, Easter, you name the holiday, we were here. We showed up, and more like most importantly, God met us in this place. And some of our most powerful days, right? Many people will take, well, I'm going to take a day off from that. And this, look, please don't get me wrong. I understand if your conviction and discipline isn't the same as mine. If you need to sleep in, go for it. Catch the replay later. Maybe you get busy and you miss a day. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I can't make you feel anyway. All I'm saying is that this has been transformational. This has been life-changing. It's been so powerful. We've built some amazing friendships and communities here. Like, it's been great. It's been absolutely great. It's been a blessing. And again, you don't have to be here every single day, but I will tell you this, I will be, God willing, I'm sure there will be a day where I maybe miss. There's been days where it's been short, 15, 20, 30 minutes, but the point is that we've shown up. And if you've missed most of the days, the beauty of it is you can always go back and watch, or you start right here. You start right here. What I would do is I would like commit. Okay, I'm going to commit to showing up the next 7 days, whether it's live or on the replay. And then you go from there. You know what I mean? Find what works for you. Find what works for you. There's not a right. There's not a wrong. And again, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Some of you guys get in your feelings so quick. Well, I haven't been able to show up. He must be talking about me. I'm not taking role. God's not taking role. I'm merely encouraging and sharing my personal experience and what it's been showing up for almost 200 days in a row. It's been a beautiful thing. Amen. Amen. Coffee Sot, let's say a prayer, and then let's go from there. Yes, yes, yes. All right. We've got 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and Proverbs 23. We got some fire to drop. So, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for today. God, I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters who show up consistently, whether live, replay, podcast, they're, you know, running it back. Whenever they're catching these messages, God, I'm so thankful and grateful that we get to spend time together. And that, Lord, you show up. God, these messages show up on people's For You pages. They show up when people share at the very right time. And it addresses all of the things that people are going through. A message from 2 months ago might show up on somebody's page, and it's exactly what they need in that moment, God, because you are perfect, and your grand plan and design is so much greater than we can ever think or imagine. You have so many intricate details. Your timing is perfect. You know what each individual truly needs to hear and when and how and the right way for it to be delivered. And God, we are so grateful for that, that we can be a part of a community. We can be a part of the body that seeks after truth, that shows up consistently and is disciplined and really desires to know who you are and wants to know you deeper. We just love you today. Prepare our hearts, prepare our ears, our eyes. Help us to see you. Help us to know you. And God, change us and transform us in this place. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. How many of you guys have like taken a break and then come back, right? I get that. That was just as I was praying. Like, I know some of you guys have, you know, life happens. And it's an hour every day. It's a big commitment. I get that. How many of you just, you know, you might have come back. You might have gone and then you come back and then it's just like, oh, it's exactly what you need to hear. Or how many of your first message was actually alive? Or maybe you caught somebody sharing it or somebody invited you. There's so many different ways that God gets this message out there, and it's always on time. It's perfect and it's beautiful. And so I just want to encourage you guys as we are finishing these chapters, right? Again, these chapters are really short. So Thessalonians, we established, has 5. 1 Thessalonians. And then what? 2 Thessalonians has what? 3? It's really short. Yeah, it's got 3 chapters. And then we jump into 1 Timothy that has about 4 chapters, 5 chapters. What do we got here? 1 Timothy has, oh, it has quite a few more. 1 Timothy has 6 chapters. But my point is this, is at the end of each chapter, we're doing these digital altar calls. I would encourage you guys to share them. You don't got to share them to your story or tag them. You can text them to people. Just find ways to invite people in who you think might need the word or might want a place to gather for community. Amen. Yeah, Timothy's going to be awesome. So 1 Thessalonians 3, you know, it's again, it's another, what is it, 13 verses. it's funny how Holy Spirit shows up even in some of the, like some verses that, you know, it's just like introduction. Paul's still, we're in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, and he's still talking about what's going on. Hey, you know, we're just still thankful for your faith. He hasn't really gotten into any rebuke. He hasn't really gotten into any meat and potatoes, but this is what has really, what really stood out to me. The first thing is this. So he says, hey, when we couldn't wait any longer, we decided it was best to stay in Athens alone and send Timothy to you. Timothy, our brother, works with us for God and helps us tell people the good news about Christ. So we sent him to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so none of you would be upset by these troubles, right? Again, they're where they're at. So he sent Timothy ahead to this church to kind of, you know, relay to them some messages, to encourage them, to strengthen them, and to, you know, to kind of oversee them. And it says, you know, when one of Paul's worries, he was just like, I sent Timothy, but I wasn't sure. Did the devil tempt you? Were you guys, I wasn't sure with the report I was going to get back. And then Timothy comes back and he's like, no, man, they're killing it. They're doing really good. There's some small issues, but at the end of the day, they're standing strong. And so it's really Paul just being like, I'm so excited. I'm thankful that your guys' faith is locked in. You know, my prayer is that I'm still able to come see you. It's really a lot of that. You're reading it on your own. And that's kind of the idea behind it. But look, what really stood out to me is as we're reading these letters, you understand he's talking to Christians. He's talking to followers of Jesus. And what you see with each letter to each different church, that each church has a set of issues. There's these different moral issues. There's some different behavioral issues. Each church has some different struggles. They're being divided in some. They're being deceived in others. They're allowing immorality in some, right? Some churches are breaking off into cliques, and then some churches are accusing Paul of not being who he says that he is. And there's these issues within the church, and it just reminds me that the church in its current state has issues, right? We can all attest to that. Many of us have church hurt. Many of us come from a background where we've experienced deception or division, or we've been hurt by a church or a church leader or people inside of the church. We've all been in those places. Most of us have experienced that in some way, shape, or form. And many times we look at church and we allow the people inside the church to pull our attention and our focus on what the church is truly about, right? The church isn't necessarily, we have to understand that it's imperfect people coming together, attempting to live lives that are, you know, that bring glory and honor to God. And so it's just challenging. This is just a good reminder of the church. The body of Christ does have its struggles. It does have its issues. And what this scripture that I'm about to share with you now reminds us is that we must stay alert. We have to stay on guard, right? There's this process of sanctification. There's this process of picking up your cross. There's this process of staying focused and constantly, being in scripture, being in God's presence. There's this race that we're running, right? It says in verse 5, because of this, when I could wait no longer, I sent Timothy to you so I could learn about your faith. Paul says, I was afraid the devil had tempted you, and then our hard work would have been wasted. Wow. What this shows me is that these are Christians that he's talking to. He's talking to Christians. And one of his concerns is that the enemy is there trying to pull their attention, take their focus off of Christ, and that he would have tempted them to a point and to a place where they have strayed, right? They've strayed away. They've departed from the truth and the place that they were at. This reminds me that we must stay alert. We must stay focused. Again, the enemy roams around like a roaring lion. Like, I'm not here to use this platform to give the enemy a lot of power, to give him a lot of focus. That's not my ministry. That's not how I operate. But I think that we have to have a healthy understanding that there is a spiritual war going on, that the enemy does look for opportunities to try to pull your focus and your attention away from God's plan, purpose, and will, and that it is up to us. It's our constant renewing of the mind. It's our constantly picking up our cross. It's our constantly reminding ourselves of the finished work of what Jesus did, coming back to his death, burial, and resurrection. It's us refocusing and really coming back, shifting our mindset and putting our eyes back on Jesus every single day. Because it's easy. I mean, let's just be honest. It's easy to lose focus. It's easy to be distracted by what's going on in this world. It only takes a moment to open up social media and to be bombarded with images of what's taking place in our nation, what's taking place around the globe, right? You can be so focused on what God's doing, and you can be, you know, just in this place of gratitude and thankfulness. And just like that, in the blink of an eye, you can be completely distracted and tempted to take your eyes off of that and down a rabbit hole of all kinds of chaos and craziness. It's not hard to lose focus. I preached on this a couple of months ago about staying focused. And the idea was, is I brought everybody into the church and asked who was and wasn't saved. We did an altar call at the beginning of church, which is completely irrational and ridiculous, but I absolutely loved it because I understand the gathering, the assembly of the church is the body of Christ coming together, and the pastor is sitting there preaching to individuals who are saved, right? The goal is to encourage, edify, build up, motivate, and inspire the church, the body of Christ, to leave those doors, to stay focused, and to make this world a better place, to start preaching the gospel unashamedly. And so as people came in, we did an altar altar call, people got saved, and then I preached on staying focused, right? I brought up the idea of, I go out with my brother Jalen and my brother Gonzo, and we do content, and one thing that they've taught me is how to adjust the focus of a camera, right? Before we start to film, we start to adjust it, and we bring it into focus. But it's really funny, if I set the camera to the side, or if I set it down for just a moment, the camera has the ability to lose focus. And so it's constantly me picking it up and refocusing it, making sure that the picture is clear. But if I move too much, right, the camera can lose focus. So it's one of these things, it's the same thing as we can come to Coffee and Prayer and we get everything in focus and we can see, but we step outside of here and as the world comes, as things happen, we tend to lose focus. And the way that we get things back into focus, it's not waiting till we come back to Coffee and Prayer, it's running to God and allowing Him to regain that focus. Focus our eyes on the cross, focus our eyes on Jesus, focus our eyes on the things of the Spirit, focus our eyes on the things that are heavenly, the things that God is calling us to do, right? We tend to lose focus really, really easy. It was a great sermon. You guys should go check it out. It's on YouTube. That was a shameless plug. But again, 1 Thessalonians just reminds me of, this idea that the church has issues. The church can be tempted, can be distracted, can be pulled away from the mission, the plan, the purpose, and the will that God has for each of us. And that's why I love doing this. That's why I love scripture. That's why I love sitting. And a lot of my days, as I'm getting older and I'm really settling into this pastor position or title, whatever you want to call it, my days are, they're spent having a lot of coffee and spending a lot of time discipling, sitting and having conversations with other believers. I'm spending a lot of time, just talking about Jesus. I'm carrying my little Bible everywhere and, we're doing Bible trivia, we're fellowshipping. It's just like life is really just sitting around and talking about Jesus and encouraging people and letting people encourage me. And we're sharing testimonies and sharing victories and sharing struggles, but it's all about Jesus. It's wild, but it keeps me in focus, right? It's this daily, this constant sitting and talking about Christ, talking about the Lord, sharing testimonies. It's wild, right? It's wild. You guys love the Bible trivia. I see that. That's great. Yeah, the Bible trivia was fun. Shout out to Gonzo and Jalen. We are definitely going to be doing more of that. I'm going to do a lot more. So here, moving forward, he talks about in verse 7, again, short chapter, such a short chapter, not a lot stood out, right? So I'm trying to share with what, like, if you guys could see, here's chapter 3 where it starts, right? Somewhere in here, and I only got a couple of things. It's not a whole lot of things that are highlighted. But in verse 7, he says, "So brothers and sisters, while we have much trouble and suffering, we are encouraged about you because of your faith," right? "Our life is really full if you stand strong in the Lord. We have so much joy before our God because of you. We cannot thank Him enough for all the joy that we feel." Holy Spirit, listen. This is good. Again, where do you guys remember where Paul is writing this letter from? Right? He's writing this while he's in Corinth. This is one of the first letters. We understand that he's going through a special time of persecution. He's going through a time of suffering, trouble. There's issues. Here he is in the middle of trouble and suffering, and he's writing that his life is full, he's encouraged because of their faith, right? This is a picture of a man who is going through it, right? Can anybody identify with that? Is anybody going through something? Does anybody have troubles that they're dealing with? Is anybody suffering right now? Right? And I think that everybody in some way, shape, or form, can anybody identify with that? Right? Anybody identify with that? We all have issues. It varies by degree. It varies by degree. In the middle of his struggle and his suffering, he finds encouragement through the faith of others. He says that his life is really full. His life is really full when he stands strong in the Lord. And he has so much joy because of our God, because of you. We cannot thank him enough for all the joy that we feel. What's going on here is he's finding joy. He's finding peace. He's finding comfort in the small things, like the faith of his brothers and sisters in another place. Right? So many of us are searching for joy, peace, comfort. We're searching for things that will bring us happiness. But many times the things that we're looking for are right there in front of us. Right? We're looking for things that are right there in front of us. There's things that we can find joy in. There's things that we can find peace in. There's things like our brother or sister's faith. There's victories. There's things that should truly bring us joy. If you've known anybody recently who's gotten saved, that should bring you joy. The fact that their soul is saved and they have a relationship with God. If you've had a chance to minister to somebody, right? The things that this world tells you is going to bring you peace and joy and comfort and happiness, they fail to satisfy time and time again. The things that truly will bring you peace and joy in the middle of your trouble and suffering is spiritual victories, right? The wins, the things that are taking place in the body of Christ. That's where we should be looking for joy and for happiness, the things of the Spirit. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, not a lot of meat and potatoes, still a lot of introductions, really reaching, trying to have a understanding of what we can take from there. But understand the context. Remind yourself of where Paul is, who he's writing to. He's writing to the church, and he's finding victory. He's finding joy and peace and comfort in the knowing that his brothers and sisters' faith is still strong. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. So with that said, we are going to move forward. We're going to jump into Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, it's the Michael Jordan number. I love Proverbs 23. This is good stuff. So there's a handful of verses that I want to share with you guys in Proverbs 23. Verse 4 says, labor not to be rich. And then verse 5 says, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. This is a beautiful reminder that we work not for, right? Colossians 3:23 said what? Work for God, not for human masters. Like work and do everything that you're doing for the Lord. Here it says labor not to be rich, right? Labor not to be rich, because riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. It reminds us of the brevity of not only life, but of money. Money comes and goes. Money's here today, gone tomorrow. If you remember the stock market crash or the housing market crash, or you remember some of these issues that we've had, money has the ability to be here one day and gone the next. You can be robbed. You can lose everything. You can experience bankruptcy. You can experience repossession and garnishment. There's so many different ways that the money that we work so hard to receive and to establish and to set aside can be here today and gone tomorrow. Right, you see this all the time. You hear about stocks crashing or businesses' worths and values because of maybe some kind of a controversy or scandal going from being way up here to down. And it's like people are, you know, we even get to a place where people are jumping out of windows and killing themselves because all of their money that they once had is now gone. Riches truly have the ability to make themselves wings, and they can fly away toward heaven. They can be gone. So when money becomes an idol, when you love money more than you love people, when you're solely working for the idea of getting rich, right? When that's all that you're working for, that becomes an issue. Things become out of proportion. Now, again, recently somebody said that I'm preaching a poverty mindset. It's not what I'm preaching. What I'm preaching is truth. The matter of the truth of the matter is that this life isn't here for us to gain riches, to store up wealth. It says, why would we store up all of our wealth where moths can eat it and robbers can rob it? Like, at the end of the day, you can't take anything with you. Billy Graham once said he's never seen a U-Haul attached to the back of a hearse. You can't take these things with you. Is it wrong to have a 401k? No. Is it wrong to save? No. Is it wrong to invest? Absolutely not. Is it wrong to have money? Of course not. Okay? But that cannot be your God. That cannot be your safety net. That cannot be the purpose of your life, to amass wealth and riches. God has a purpose for you. Now, maybe that is a part of your purpose, for you to be a kingdom millionaire. There's individuals in the kingdom who have large sums of money, but they use it wisely. They're great stewards. They're typically generous. They fund and help different projects around the world. Like, there's people who have large amounts of money, but they're great stewards of it. And I can tell you this. Those individuals typically aren't overly consumed with the money. They understand the brevity of money. They understand the principle of generosity. They understand they have not allowed those things to become their God. They have not allowed those things to become an idol, right? Many of us, even, you know, I think that a lot of us, we mismanage our funds. Many of us, we spend recklessly. Many of us don't save. Many of us don't budget. Many of us aren't responsible and faithful with the little that we get, and then we wonder why we don't have more, right? There are some things, again, God has been speaking to me systems over the last couple of weeks, systems. And I believe generosity and giving are one of those systems that keep a flow of money coming your way, a flow of provision coming your way, right? We don't like to talk about money very often, but again, I'm not against people having money, finances, or wealth. I think that's amazing for you. I love that for you. I would love that too. And one day, maybe God will make that happen. I think that's great. But the issue here is it even says, don't labor not to be rich. That should not be our heart posture. That should not be our sole purpose for our existence. God will bless you. But one of the systems that I believe are in place is God gives to those who give. So many of these kingdom, these people who are kingdom wealthy, and then they have these finances, many of them, they hold tight to this principle of generosity, and not just money. Many of them are generous in their time, their energy, or their effort. I know a lot of people who give generously financially, but they also give of their time. They actually care. And so the beauty of it is that God judges your heart. He knows your heart posture. You can fool all of these other people, right? You can live this life that looks good on the outside, but God truly judges your heart. You can fool everybody else but God. So at the end of the day, He knows your posture. He knows your motives. He knows your intentions. You can't lie to Him. You can't hide the deepest intentions of your heart from the Lord. So make sure that as we are pursuing work, and we're pursuing these things, these dreams, these visions, these goals, that we're not doing it for the sole purpose of just becoming rich, because riches will make themselves wings and they will fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Moving forward, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Again, he's talking about these rulers, right? Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, right? For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. This is something that you hear quite often, right? As a man thinks, so he is. This just reminds me that the words that we speak have so much power, but not just to other people. The words that we speak to ourselves, the words that we speak to ourselves, right? Think about that. Think about that. How are you speaking to yourself? What words are you sharing? What are you saying to yourself? Oh, that was good stuff. So are you your own cheerleader, or are you struggling with self-defeating thoughts? Right? Are you telling yourself that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy, that you don't, that what are you saying to yourself? That you're not forgiven, that nobody could love you, that you're your own worst enemy. Many of you guys are. Many of you guys are. So as one thinks in his heart, so he is. This is something that I had to, I struggled through, is I continuously would define myself as my past, and I wouldn't allow myself any grace. I wouldn't allow myself to grow. I wouldn't allow myself to truly be the new creation that I am. And it wasn't until I found my identity in Christ that I started really, you know, let's say this. Do you guys believe in I am statements and affirmations, right? Many people will say, okay, I am wealthy. I am rich. I am happy. I am, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. Those are these positive affirmation I am statements. We understand that the words that come after I am are extremely powerful. So if you're constantly telling yourself, I am sick, I am tired, I am exhausted, right? I am broke, right? As you think, so you are. You are going to start doing things that lead you in the direction of sickness and poverty. You're going to start doing things because as you think and the way that you speak about yourself, so you are. You start, because words have the power to create. Our words are extremely powerful. Being that we're made in the image of God, and God created the earth and everything in it by word, he said, let there be, and so there was. We too have the power to create with our words. Now, I'm not saying that we're able to like create things right in front of us, but typically the way that we think, the way that we believe, and the way that we view ourselves will lead us in a direction that line up with that. Right? So what helped for me is I started to see myself as who God saw me as. So now my affirmations, it's not so much about the things that I have, but about who I am. I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am chosen. I am set aside. I am a royal priesthood. My I am affirmations and statements come from the word of God. I am a new creation, right? I start to realize my identity. I am more than a conqueror. I am filled with the Holy Spirit, right? These are the things, my I am statements and affirmations that I now share with myself are rooted and grounded in truth. No longer am I am my circumstances. I am my past. I am my failures. I am my mistakes. No longer is my identity grounded or rooted in the things that I believe that I once was, but now it is grounded and rooted in who I am. Let me say that again. My I am statements, my affirmations now come from the word of God. I start to see myself as God sees me, and I affirm that every single day. I am a follower of Jesus. I am chosen and set aside. I am a royal priesthood, right? I am walking in boldness. I am walking in victory. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am pure and blameless, and God sees me as the righteousness of Christ, right? We are the truth of who we are is rooted and grounded in Scripture. So I scour Scripture and I remind myself of who I am. So it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I am more than a conqueror, right? That the Holy Spirit, it says that the power in me is greater than the power in this world. So I am filled with the Holy Spirit. So I am powerful, right? I am powerful. Come on now. I am God's creation. I am a daughter of God. What are your guys' I am statements? What are you guys claiming today? What are you sharing today? What are you today? Who are you today? I am forgiven. I am not my past. I am healed. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Powerful. I am nothing but his servant, right? I am a servant of God. I am a friend of God. I am loved by God. Wow, I am redeemed. I am victorious. I am a new creation. I am chosen by Christ. I am whole in Christ. I am who he says that I am. I am blessed. I'm loved. I'm his servant. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. We start claiming, I am not my past. I am healed. I am not my past. Ooh, Henry says, I am grateful. I am thankful. You guys can keep those rolling all day long. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What are you telling yourself? What are you telling yourself? Wow, powerful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's good. Verse 9, we're going to move forward from that. I think that right there resonates with a lot of you guys. Verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Again, this kind of goes hand in hand with don't cast your pearls to the swine. Not everybody deserves a response. This was a good reminder. I still find myself on just a daily basis. I still find myself struggling with that. I will have people who are not even submitted to God try to rebuke me or set me aside or tell me what I should be doing with ministry, right? I'm not above reproach. I receive counsel. I have individuals that speak into my life. I have individuals that correct me. I have individuals that mentor me, I'm in a place where I have individuals who are submitted to Christ. And then I have people who have the audacity to step in and tell me when clearly the fruits of their life aren't in a place. And this isn't me sitting in a seat of judgment. This is me using discernment. You will have people come into your life and try to tell you how to live it based on their limited point of view, right? They will tell you how you should be moving and operating and running your business and the things that you're doing when they don't even have their stuff together. And it's just like, in those instances before, I would set people straight or I would react rather than respond. But what God has been putting on my heart, I'm telling you, in the last couple of days, I have used this statement to myself probably a dozen times now. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. That has been running through my mind, and God has stopped me in my tracks. I have held my tongue, and I have. And what it's done is it's created more peace. It's created more serenity. It's created this this impervious wall where, you know, people aren't able, you know, many times I would respond to things and people speaking into my life who don't have a foothold to be doing so. And I would actually give them ear, or I would give them a response. And many times that's all that they're looking for is a response or a reaction. They don't truly care, and their wisdom isn't even truly grounded in knowledge, understanding, or a relationship with God. It's usually them being an agent of Satan and allowing their submission to the things of this world to try to influence my mind and my thought and the direction that I'm going. I'm submitted to God. I'm surrendered to God. My life is surrendered. And the ones that I allow to speak into my life are also submitted and surrendered to God. And they have fruits in their life that are evident. So when people come through and they don't have a profile picture and they've got one follower and they feel like it's their mission to step in and to share with me what God put on their heart or the things that I should be doing with my ministry, falls on deaf ears. They don't even get a response. It gets slid and delete. You know what I mean? And I think that the same thing applies to us. Don't let just anybody speak into your life. Not everybody has the right intentions. Not everybody. And look, if you don't have a profile picture, I'm not knocking you. That's not what this is. Please don't be sensitive. because I do know people who just don't have profile pictures, and it's okay. It's not a big deal. So chill. I know there's going to be a comment. I don't have a profile picture, but I'm just here because I like to watch Coffee and Prayer. It's like, okay, it's not an attack. Chill. But I know many of you guys out there will have people speaking into your lives that you need to take that advice with a grain of salt, but you're putting a lot of weight into it, right? Because of their position or their title. Maybe mom or dad, or maybe it's a friend or a family member, a brother or a sister, somebody that you love and respect. But if they're not truly submitted to God, and you know, for instance, don't sit there and take dating advice from somebody who's struggling in a relationship. Please stop running, putting your business out there and receiving relationship advice from people who don't have healthy or positive relationships, right? Please don't go out and take financial advice from individuals who are currently struggling. Like, I get it. Some people who have struggled, they might have wisdom and knowledge, but look at the fruits of their life. Are they fully submitted to God? Stop taking advice and allowing people to speak into your life who aren't submitted to God, because they might be hearing from God, but it might not be our God, the God. They might be hearing from the God of this world. The advice, it's well-meaning, right? It might not even be misplaced. It might not even be coming from a place of like them trying to hurt you, but them not truly hearing from God and you listening to their advice and the counsel that they're giving you. Listen, that many of us find ourselves in bad situations because we're getting bad advice. We're getting bad counsel. We're leaning on the knowledge, the wisdom, understanding, and philosophy of people who are grounded and rooted in this world, right? So please make sure that the people you're allowing to speak into what you're doing are fully submitted to God, and they've got the fruits of their life to prove and to show it, right? You're going to save yourself a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache and heartbreak and a lot of issues and obstacles. Again, how I got that from verse 9, I don't know. Oh, it's because I don't need to react and respond. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. I seen a meme. This is a meme. And it said something like this. It was like, stop trying to make people like you who have already got their minds made up about you. Woo! Say that again. Stop trying to change the minds or trying to make people like you who've already got their minds made up about you, right? there's some people who just don't like me. They don't like that my hat's backwards. They don't like that I've got tattoos. They hate that I preach in a Jeep. They don't like that I've got earrings. They've never listened to a message. They've never seen the fruits of my life. They've never spent time with me. They've never sat on the other side of a table and tried to know me. They might have watched a 15-second video and established in their heart that they don't like me and they're not going to like me. So why am I going to spend extra time trying to convince them or change who I am for their approval when God has called me, when God has qualified me, when God has put me in a place? So many of us are out here searching for the approval of other people, but these people have already made it up in their mind that they don't like you. And there's nothing that you can do. There's not enough hoops that you can jump through. There's not, I couldn't turn my hat forward. I couldn't get my tattoos removed and remove the earrings from my ears and put myself up in a fancy office, and they would still find fault and a reason to not like me. Amen. So let's please stop spending so much time. It says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy world. There are people who are set up to not like you regardless. So let's not waste so much time with individuals who've already got their minds made up. Right? Verse 12 says, apply thy heart unto instruction and thine eyes to the words of knowledge. Right? Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. I want my heart set on wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The reason why we show up every day, the reason why we desire the word is knowledge, the word is truth, the word is understanding, the word is wisdom. I want to operate my life through the lens of the Lord, and I want to be devoted and disciplined. Again, I got convicted a little bit, but for the right reasons on Wednesday, right? On Wednesday, I was at church home, and Pastor Judah Smith, amazing communicator, was sharing about what do you want? The message was titled, and it was just kind of like, what do you want? And he was doing this, the skit of like, what do you want? He was like, some of you are out there and just like, I don't want anything, God. I want what you want for me. And it was humorous, but I was like, dang, that's me, right? That is really, that's me. And it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but I thought that it was humorous. And there was a little bit of conviction. It's like, I'm sold out, man. I'm sold out to God. What do you want? I couldn't really tell you what I want. I don't have a 5-year plan. I don't have a vision or a goal or this big overarching dream for my life. Again, I've shared that I've operated out of that space and out of that place, and it led to a place where, I wasn't, I failed. I made a lot of mistakes. And so it's not that I'm against those things. And if that's how you operate, I love that. My wife operates on an Excel sheet. She is a living, walking, talking Excel spreadsheet. And I love that. We don't operate the same. I'm more of like a spiritual hippie. I'm just like, yes, Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want to take me. And she's like, no, we need to have a plan. And I'm just like, okay, well, you make the plan. And then you just let me know what I got to do each day. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to do coffee and prayer, man. And I'm going to go and pray for people. And I'm going to go do this and that. I'm going to interact and I'm going to make calls. And no, I'm not make calls. I'm going to do emails. Like, I'm a spiritual hippie. And then my wife is just like, bam, bam, bam. This is what's going on. This is our financial goal. This is the direction. This is how much you've spent. She's like super organized. I love that. I absolutely love that. But what I've really found is that when I apply my heart, my life, everything to wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and having a deeper relationship with God, things make more sense. And there's this peace that transcends understanding. As I was praying this morning, I was just sitting here and it's like, God, I don't even want to ask for anything. Not because of fear of not getting it, because I don't know even what to ask for anymore. I've gotten to a place, I don't even know what to ask for. The only thing that I can pray for and ask for is, God, your will be done, right? There's all of these little opportunities and there's all of these directions and things. And it's gotten to this place where I'm just like, I don't even know what I want. All I want is for God's will to be done. That's all that I want. I'm devoting my time, my life, my energy and effort to the scripture. I'm applying my heart to the instruction, my ears to the words of knowledge, God. And whatever it is that you've made me for, that's all that I want. I don't care if it comes with this or that, or if it goes, I truly don't care anymore. I am comfortable and I trust and have faith that wherever it is that he's taking me is going to be exactly what he's called me to do, if that makes sense, right? It's a hard concept. And so, again, I'm not against goals and dreams and visions, but we've talked about it over and over that man can plan his ways, but God establishes his steps. So it's like, okay, I'm going to show up today. I'm going to be here, but really I'm going to apply myself to wisdom, knowledge, understanding, learning, having a deeper, better relationship with my friends and family members and just kind of going from that place and operating from a place of like, Lord, I'm yours. I'm fully surrendered. Yesterday, what I was sharing with my brother Sage, I was having, he's a part of our worship team, I was having coffee with him, and I said, look, man, God is more concerned with our availability than our ability, right? He's more concerned with my availability than my ability. I tell him, I'm just a guy in a Jeep who loves Jesus. The reason why God shows up to these things and that there's success in any aspect is because I'm available. Is I have emptied my life of my own selfish ambition and the things that I truly want, because all that I want is truly for God's will to be done. I want to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit. So because I'm available, because I'm here, I show up. There might be people who have better Bible knowledge. There might be people who have better ways to speak. There might be people who have better theology, or they have several seminary degrees. There might be people who have been in ministry for far longer than I have. They have far greater ability, but maybe, I'm just throwing this out there, because they're not as available, God's doing things with me, right? And not to say that he's not doing things with them, but I think that there's an acceleration. I think that there's a generosity. I think that there's a movement of things that are going on because I make myself available. God is more concerned about your availability than your ability, because here, I don't have a lot of ability. So I'm fully relying on the Holy Spirit. God, I read it. I don't get it. I need you to use me. You want to talk to people? Okay, I'm gonna be available, right? Many times I say I empty myself of me so that he can be full. Like, I want all of him, none of me. Thank God there's not a lot of me that has to be emptied, right? I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, so I'm able to empty me real quick. God, use me. I'm available. And here, do whatever it is that you please. Use those scripture and the word that pops off of this page. Use me as a vessel, and now share it with people. And that's it. Availability. More important than your ability. Should we have a level of ability? Absolutely. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, he fills the gap. He covers the distance, right? Maybe I'm right here, but we need to go over here. I might get us to here. He takes us the rest of the way. It's all about his availability. That was weird. The Eye of Horus. No. Get that out of here. I'll do this. Bam. Bam. You gone. You a distraction. So, I think the last scripture that I wanted to share in 23. Yes. It's verse 17. This spoke to me. It says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Look, I'm going to just be completely transparent, real, and honest, right? There's times, it's easy as a Christian sometimes to get discouraged when you look out at the world and you see people prospering or being successful, again, by the eyes of the world. It's easy to get discouraged when you see people who are completely blatantly living in sin yet having success. And it's like, why is it that entertainers, athletes, musicians, all of these people who glorify the world, they glorify sex, they glorify divorce, they glorify all of these identity issues, they have these stances on political issues that completely contradict the word of God, yet they have people waiting on them, right? Well, they have just stupid amounts of money, disrespectful amounts of money. These individuals who are living blatantly in sin in the eyes of the world, and they have, it seems to be, zero cares. It seems that they have everything that they need, that they're living these lives that are filled with luxury. And again, I'm just being honest, right? I understand that none of those things satisfy. I understand that all of those things are temporary. I understand that they're receiving their reward here on this earth, but will be eternally separated from God. I understand that many times it's also just a facade, that they're not truly happy, that all of those things and those comforts, they don't truly bring happiness, because if money and success truly did, then they wouldn't be divorcing at such a high rate, or they wouldn't be, you know, offing themselves at such an alarming rate. They wouldn't be overdosing on drugs, trying to numb themselves from the pain and the hurt and the way that they live their lives. They wouldn't be trying to escape their reality through substances, right? So I understand that part, but I'm just being honest. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in that and go, man, it must be nice. It would be nice to not have any worry financially. It would be nice to not struggle from month to month, right? It must be nice. It must be nice. All right, that's just the truth of the matter. I'm just being real. But it says, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. All right, it's encouraging to remind myself that, look, this is just a dress rehearsal. In fact, I believe that the God of this world, right, the enemy, it says that the power in us is greater than the power in this world. I believe that he does have power to give riches, finances, materials, experiences, clout, influence, fame. Those are things that the world really values, right? And so what we've done is we've been programmed to view success as a number in a bank account. We view success as a blue check next to somebody's name. We view success as a certain amount of followers on social media. We view success through the eyes and the lens of this world. But when we change our mindset and we start to view success through the eyes of the Lord, we understand that success is having a real relationship with Jesus and nothing else. We understand that this is a dress rehearsal. We understand that the enemy uses these individuals as puppets in order to distract us, in order to discourage us. And we see them living their best life here on this earth, but my eyes aren't on the temporary, it's on the eternal. I understand that my riches, that my gifts, that my wealth is found in the presence of God. We start to view what this world truly is. And my prayer is that we wake up. Don't be envious of sinners. They are receiving their gift while they're here, yet they are going to experience eternal separation from God. My treasure is in heaven. I keep my eyes on the prize, and the prize is eternal salvation because of Jesus. So we keep these things in scope. We don't allow our hearts to become envious or jealous or frustrated or discouraged. We understand that we are going through suffering while we're here on this earth. Jesus went through suffering while he was here on this earth, but we will be raised into glory on that last day. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And yes, it is frustrating. Yes, it can be discouraging. Yes, it can be annoying. But at the end of the day, we must keep our perspective. We must be looking through the lens of God and reminding ourselves of what it truly is and the truth behind it. See, that's another great tactic of the enemy, and it's called distraction. It's called pulling your attention. You see and you start to define success the same way that the world does. And so rather than pursuing the purpose, the vision, the dream, and the goal that God has, we start to pursue our own visions and dreams, and we come up with these schemes and ideas in order to start living the same lives as them, and we start to emulate them on a different scale. And so we start to view success as a number in the bank account. We start to view success through the same lens and the eyes of this world, and we understand that that success will never satisfy, that will never bring peace, that will never bring comfort. And then we wonder why the divorce rate is so high. We wonder why families are being torn apart. We wonder why people are taking their lives at an alarming rate. It's because the dream that this world sells us fails to satisfy. The only thing that will ever satisfy is Jesus, right? The only thing that will satisfy is Jesus. So it says, do not be discouraged. Let your hearts not be troubled. Don't be envious. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Understand that there will be a day of judgment. Understand that there's going to be a day of accountability. There's going to be a day when you have to answer for how you spent your time, how you spent your gifts, how you spent your energy, your effort, and your resources. Amen. That's good. It's powerful. I think that's a good place to stop. 1 Thessalonians has been good. I know that the last two chapters, there's a lot more practical application. Proverbs constantly bringing the fire. You guys, just a reminder that you're reading this on your own. Right, you guys are reading this on your own. You're reading 1 Thessalonians 3, Proverbs chapter 23. I'm not reading it to you. And different things are going to pop out. There were different scriptures that I wanted to go over today, but those are the ones that really stuck out. And God gave me a very short, small word on each one of those things. And if I'm being completely honest, today was one of those days that I personally share that, you know, I didn't feel God's presence, right? Now, I know that God is with us. I know that God's presence is here. But even getting into 1 Thessalonians, I didn't feel that God was speaking to me through Scripture. Right? I shared this before earlier in the week, that not every day that I open my book is the words jumping off the page and I'm not getting little goose pimples and God's not, I don't feel like he's sitting right here next to me. Right? But again, I'm going back to the point that it's faith over feelings. I don't allow my feelings to dictate my dictate my actions. If I sat here every day and every day that God, I didn't feel God, then that doesn't mean, like, if I only praised God the days that I felt him, then I would only praise God half the week. Sometimes I feel him, sometimes I don't. For today, the Holy Spirit showed up for me and I felt him here at the very end. But throughout this whole hour, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit, but I knew that he was with me. I know that the words at some point in one way or the other spoke to somebody out there from minute one all the way down to the end. And so again, it's a great reminder that not every day is this emotional experience where I'm weeping at the foot of the throne. Now, there are days like that, but not every day is that. Do you guys understand that? And so it's like getting to this place where our faith is greater than our feelings, that we don't just allow our feelings to dictate everything. Many of us will wake up and we'll read our word and we'll pray and you don't feel God, and then you're discouraged and then you're frustrated and you start questioning your salvation and you start getting into this place where you're like, I don't even know, man, I don't feel God anymore. And it's like, I think that's preposterous. It's ridiculous. You don't have to feel God to know that God is there. Then you run to the truth. What does the truth say? Deuteronomy 31:6 and 31:8, God will never leave you nor forsake you. So if the scripture is true and I stand on the truth and it says that he's here and he will never leave me nor forsake me, whether I feel him or not, I know that he's with me. Amen? I know that he's with me. It's a knowing, not a feeling. It's a knowing, not a feeling. It's faith that he's here. It's faith that it's the truth over what you feel. Your feelings can be deceptive, right? You ever been really, really hungry and then eat something and then you don't feel good, but maybe you were just thirsty? Your feelings can be off. You ever had a feeling in the pit of your stomach that was wrong? I have, right? Have you ever allowed your feelings and your emotions to work you up into a situation that was never even the actual situation? I have. Have you ever felt a certain way that somebody was coming at you in a certain way through a text message, but then when you picked up the phone, it was completely opposite of what you felt? Feelings are wrong. Feelings can be misleading. Understand that. So why would I allow my feelings to let me know whether or not my God is with me? Right? He is always with me. He is always with me. Yeah. Feelings are deceptive. Feelings can be misleading. Not all the time. Sometimes. Many times. So I've come to a place where I learned that my feelings and my emotions do not get to dictate my actions. My feelings and emotions do not get to dictate my understanding of who God is, where he is, and how he operates. Because if that's the case, right, if that's the case, then my faith in God is like this, because my feelings and emotions are sometimes a roller coaster. Amen. Amen. And this stems from me sharing that this morning I didn't feel God. I didn't feel him, right? I know he's with us. You feel me? You feel me? No pun intended. Let's pray. Let's get up out of here. It's Saturday morning. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Get out there. Spend some time serving the community. I just want to thank you guys again for all of the support and the love on the podcast. All of my subscribers, man. I shared, I think I had 55. I think we're up to 65. Awesome. I appreciate it. I love you guys. I truly honor you guys. But let's say a prayer. I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your weekend. So Father God, we just want to thank you for today. Now, we know you are here with us, whether we feel it or not. Our faith is in you. Our faith is not in the things of this world. It's not in experience. It's not in relationship. It's not in material. It's not in anything that has an expiration date, but it is in you, the eternal, everlasting, all-knowing, all-powerful God. We know that you will not fail us. We know that you will provide all that we need. Our faith is in knowing who you are because of what the scripture says. So regardless of our emotional state, our circumstances, our situations, the chaos that's going on in this world, we know, God, that you are good. And because you are good, Lord, you are great, we give you praise, worship, honor, and glory. Lord, we are so thankful and grateful that you would allow us to know who your son Jesus is. We understand that there are people in this world who do not have the gospel, who have not heard the gospel. There are people in this world who know the name of Michael Jordan but don't know the name of Jesus. Lord, we are thankful that you would reveal that to us. We are torchbearers. We carry around his death, burial, and resurrection power inside of us daily. We pray that you would give us opportunity to share the gospel unashamedly, that you would give us opportunity to share the love and transformational power of Jesus. God, that's what you have set us aside for. That is what you've purchased us for, to be the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, the mouthpiece of you. Lord, help us to walk boldly, victoriously, and courageously. God, help us to see past our own suffering. Give us eyes to see that this life is not about us, but it's about him. It's about you. And help us to live accordingly, pursuing the plan, purpose, and will that you have created us for. God, that's what we want. So we could sit here and lift up a long list of requests, but in one ask, God, this is what we ask. We ask that your will would be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. That's all that we want. That is truly what we want. If it's not your will, we don't want it. If it's a part of your will, then that's what we're asking for. That's it. Lord, that is it. And we know that because it's a part of your will, that you will answer faithfully, that you will provide the things that we truly need. Help us to discern the difference between what we need and what we want, and help us to live in accordance to that. And we pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I believe that's a powerful prayer. I'm praying for God's will. I want his will to be done. I want his will to be done in healing. I want his will to be done in relationship. I want his will to be done in finance. I want his will to be done in every opportunity. That's all that I want. If it's his will, then I want it. If it's not, then I understand that it might not be exactly what I want, but it's what's best. Right? It's what's best. If it's not his will, right? If things aren't going my way, then what does that mean? They're going his way. Think about that. That's a tweet. If things aren't going my way, then they must be going his way. And his way is far better than mine. Remind yourself of that. So if there's a situation that's unfolding in a way that you don't want it, understand, right? This is called discernment. This is living by the Spirit. It might not feel good. It might not be what you want. It might not be what you prayed for. But understand that it is happening his way, his will, his direction. And his will and way and direction is far superior than ours. We can't always fathom it. We can't wrap our minds around it. But if we can wrap our minds around that, if it's not going my way, it must be going his way. That means it's his will, it's his direction, it's his purpose, it's his plan. Even when it doesn't feel good, right? Because sometimes he's got to take us through some things. Because everything that we go through helps make us more like Jesus. Jesus went through grief. Jesus went through betrayal. Jesus went through loss. Jesus went through temptation. Jesus went through all of these things, yet came out on the other side victorious. What makes us think that we're better than Jesus? And that if Jesus went through this, right? He was grievous. He lost friends. He lost family members. People died in his life. He was betrayed and backstabbed by one of his closest 12 friends. You guys understand that? You understand that? So if he went through it, what makes us think that we're going to live a life that is immune from those things? Understand that if it's not going your way, as hard as it is, as challenging as it is, it's going his way. And that's what we want. Amen. I love you guys. I honor you. And I look forward to seeing you guys back here tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. Hope you guys have an amazing rest of your day. And stay blessed. See you guys tomorrow.